praying, singing, all that. Oh, I think I'm a little bit less reverb. Thanks. All right. I just want to really welcome those who are visiting us for the first time. I think there are a few here. Maybe I won't embarrass you. Or shall I? Would you like to just quickly stand? We just want to give you welcome and just really welcome. We take note of who you are and kind of, you know, so that people can attack you after service is over and you don't just slip out. You get to talk to some people and you just feel the warmth, you know. It's all house of God is everywhere. We are all brothers and sisters. God has houses everywhere and we can fellowship in so many different places. When you meet, you know, true Christians, immediately you bond. There's no wall. Sometimes it's closer than blood brother, isn't it? I want to especially also welcome Pastor Andrew from Malaysia. Yeah. Thank you. It's an honor to have you. I just call Pastor Andrew Grand Pastor because she's Pastor Kathy's pastor. So she's black belt pastor. I'm yellow belt pastor.
No belt.
I do have a belt, but this is, you know, hide it. So thank you. We honor all the men and women who are serving the Lord for many, many years, being faithful, remaining faithful. Is, you know, it's a great example. Thank you. Keep going, and you know, we applaud you, and we applaud one another. So let's stand together, shouldn't we? Yeah. For a prayer, just a short word of prayer. Abba Father, we thank you. We are in a momentous time. Lord, our nation is being measured on a balance. And Father, we want to be with you, Lord. We want to stand. We want to be like the prophets and the saints of old, O God, interceding, Lord God, on your side for the good of the people of the land that they're living in, Father God. So, Lord, we desire good of Australia. We desire all the blessings, O God, to just break open over this nation, O God. Lord, we want us to take a very strong stand against the Lord, wiles of the devil, principalities and powers of the air, Lord, that are being loosed against this nation and the people and the children, Lord God, in this land and the children to be born. Abba Father, we ask that you will pour out spirit of wisdom and mercy, O God, supplication, grace, O God. Father, we do pray, O God, that you will baptize church with love for you, and love for the people, love for the homosexual community as well, Lord God, that we don't naturally have, Father God. Lord, that we may know, Lord, how to speak, Lord, truth in love, Abba Father. Lord Jesus, we desire, Lord, that you will send us, Lord, mighty revival in this nation, Lord God. And use us, Father God, that we will, Lord, be able to, under your grace, cleanse our house, Lord God. Cleanse our vessel, Lord God, for honor, Lord. That you may use us, O God, and that we may partner with you in this hour. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you so much. So just in case, no Wednesday Bible study, just take note. We will pick it up next week. And also, just a note that guest speaker, Pastor Joe Sweet from Shekinah Worship Center on 24th of September, and then Awake Prayer Summit, Pastor Julius Subi, he is running 24/7 prayer house, in the nations in Kenya, and also very powerfully ministers in Malaysia. So there will be very special weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Mark that in your diary. And want to just start off a little bit with this marriage week. You know, we said that we're going to have a marriage week this week and marriage Sunday. What is marriage week and marriage Sunday? It's happening all across Australia. It's been happening 9 past years. It actually started 2007. So this is the 10th year celebrating on the same week, every week, across the body of Christ, across Australia. And we are saying, let us affirm what it means, you know, what marriage means from God's point of view. Let's celebrate and bless our marriage. Let us, you know, have a healthy and then holy, happy, joyful marriage that out of which all the blessings flow out. So since 2007, across Australia, church has been uniting to reinforce and promote benefits and importance of marriage
and increase awareness of the value of pre-marriage and in-marriage education according to the Word of God. I mean, there are so many here been married longer than us. Mia and I, we've been married for how long? 20-something years. I mean, I look very young. I look, some people say, you know, treat me like, you know, little kid. But we've been married over 20 years, and it's been such a joy and blessing. I thank God for every marriage, what it is and what it can be, again, you know, into the future. It's the greatest blessing that God has given to the mankind. So Marriage Week affirms that the value of marriage, which marriage as a binding public commitment, becomes a foundation of healthy families, healthy children, healthy community, so that marriage is a union of a man and a woman and the exclusion of all others voluntarily entered into for life. Now, that is our definition currently in our government. And that is according to the Bible, isn't it? Voluntarily two people of male and female, two, not three or four, one male and one male, female entering to this union to the exclusion of all others and pledging faithfulness, loyalty, love, you know, better for worse, health and, you know, not so healthy, thick and thin, stay together and be an expression of God's unchanging love towards you. So that's the foundation of what it means to be married, to enter into this relationship. Now, so happens that, you know, this marriage plebiscite thing's been going back and forth and back and forth. Even last week, they were challenging in the high court, let's pull all the money, you know, votes back. Let's not send it out because, you know, government has no right to ask people in such an important thing, which is the foundation since the dawn of human history, to change all that. We shouldn't ask anybody because you're going to spend some money, a few, you know, million dollars in sending out ballot paper. They're challenging it. But thank God this has passed through. So everybody has a vote, which means a voice to speak. So praise God. So what they've done is they call for a week of prayer and a day of fasting. So praise God. This is a God's timing, such a time as this. They have been organizing this for last 9 years and the 10th year. It so falls on the week before postal votes arrive next week. So praise God. It's God's mercy. Amen. All across Australia, many, many churches of many denominations get together and they're organizing prayer every single day, Monday to, you know, all the way, right? And then they also fast on one day. So praise God. God has his people. God has seven, you know, so to speak, 7,000 people who will cry out for their land and seek blessing, not curse, and not be indifferent. Problem, often, you know how many, it's only about 1% of people who are saying, sometimes they are confused, so, you know, not sure. People all put together, it's 1.2% population who are saying, I am homosexual, or I may be, or, you know, who knows, I want to decide later. All put together, 1.2% are changing the law of the land, gagging 99%, and Edwin will share a little bit more about that, but I just want to kind of stick to the biblical point of view. But what they are doing is now we are saying, we've been celebrating this now, let's do more than celebrating, let's pray, let's seek God, because God can turn this around, make Australia a revival center, not disaster zone. Amen? Revival center, not disaster zone. So this is happening, and Mia already explained what just happened, Awake Australia. It's been called, you know, this, again, conference been just held. In the conference, word was given, and we've just all responded, we need to fast and pray because our nation is on the balance. We can't be indifferent. We can't be indifferent. Christians, apathy, indifference is the greatest weakness that devil can explore. It's like we are there, but we are not counted. We are invisible, but it shouldn't be. When Jesus died, well, Jesus created everything, right? He owns everything. Australia, who is the owner of Australia? Jesus. And then he died and he shed his blood. He paid for it again, twice. Every dust, every tree, every house, every soul of people living on the land, every air particle belongs to Jesus, rightfully. And the small number of people act like they own the whole thing. Who is the owner? Jesus is, we under him are legally, we are, it's our inheritance. Australia is Jesus' inheritance. So we've got to stand and say, no more, isn't it? Who is the owner? Who lives in the house? It's God's people. Now, I'm not saying be aggressive or you know, hate people. We're saying, no, this is God's land. We're not going to allow certain evil. We take a stand in the name of Jesus, okay? And that does great things. And also, speak, vote. Yeah. Don't let that postal vote rot in the house. I don't want to find any postal vote in the house, you know, under the, if I, you know, visit your house, I find the, you know, vote ballot paper under your chair. No. Yeah, I'm sure. Right. Anyway, so we are organizing prayer, right? 3 days. So really do invite you. I know there are those some, you know, who may not be able to come. That's okay. Pray at home. But if you can make it, we just urge and encourage everybody to get together in prayer. Now, I want to address this question. You know, I've seen on screen, like internet and so on, you know, reputable Christian minister, sometimes of large church and so on, they are in discussion with the people. And they basically say, you know what, in the discussion, Jesus never condemned one homosexual in his ministry and just leave it hanging there. Have you heard that sort of argument? And just leave it hanging there as if like, okay, Jesus didn't have a position. Jesus loves homosexuals. Is that true? Absolutely. He does love. He loves everyone. And but he said, you know, they say, Jesus never condemned anyone. So why do you condemn him? Who are you? Jesus didn't. And just leave it just hanging there so that there is a lot of gray area whereby you can swing this way, swing that way. It's all okay because Jesus is just liquid love. Can I ask another question? Did Jesus never condemn one molestation, child molestation? What do you call the pedophilia? True? Jesus never condemned incest. Did he? Did Jesus condemn, Jesus condemned adultery, yeah, but there are many things that Jesus didn't condemn. It's an argument from silence. Jesus didn't condemn bestiality either. Now, I'm sorry to say this in the house of God. Do you know what bestiality is? Okay, so I don't have to explain. Jesus didn't condemn bestiality. Why? It's okay? Liquid love. Yes. Jesus didn't have to. Yeah. A lot of times I hear people, Christians, arguing from the silence of the scripture and saying, well, Bible doesn't teach it. That is not correct. You have to actually listen to what the whole Bible is saying. Jesus didn't have to specifically condemn everything. He was out to speak salvation. But Jesus' understanding and teaching goes back to the scripture, entire Old Testament. What was the scripture? They didn't have 66 books. They had 39, the Old Testament. So his teaching and his understanding, Jesus said, the scripture cannot be broken. All of Old Testament cannot be broken. It's not, Old Testament is the kind of, you know, kind of older stuff that are passing away. New Testament, that's the only thing. No, Jesus said, scripture cannot be broken. He said, the Old Testament scripture. And there are many Old Testament scriptures that are specific about this issue. But I'll just take you one chapter of Leviticus that kind of sums up many, many sins that God doesn't want his people to walk in. And he lists, like, you know, Leviticus 20. You can go home and read it properly. There are many things that are listed there. Just give you a list quickly. He's talking about adultery. Adultery, is that good or bad? Generally, society condemns adultery because it hurts somebody else and it breaks down society. Now, after a few verses, he talks about, what is it? That's homosexuality, yeah. All right, the next one, the next verse, he's talking about incest. Next verse, he's talking about bestiality. All of it in one section. And Jesus didn't have to go around. He's you know, doing all that. But it is based on the word of God. In fact, when you look at Matthew 19, verse 1 to 10, you can look at that. That really deals with the burning question of the day about the marriage. And the burning issue was not so much incest. Or burning issue, pressing issue, wasn't so much homosexuality, because until then, most of this community were in the hidden. And they were hidden. And the main thing there was, remarriage, divorce and remarriage. So Jesus deals with it. But he takes it all the way to creation. He takes it even further back than the law of Moses and the creation. And Jesus says, he answered, and people came and asked, you know, why do we have this divorce paper? Is that okay? Because the way they were doing is they just give the paper, I divorce you because I don't like you. And then they take it back, and they give you a divorce paper, and they take it back. Man controls woman with this paper. And the law says, no, don't do that. Don't do that. But anyway, I'm not going into too much. I'll just leave it there. It was protection for the women in the Old Testament, the way God said this. He answered and said, have you not read that he who made them, who is God, at the beginning made them male and female, and has said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and two shall become one flesh. That's very clear, isn't it? Anatomically, we are made in that way. So it was God's plan and God's intention. Have you not read? You should know the Old Testament word of God says, a man and a woman constitute marriage. And then they, you know, throw more questions. What about divorce paper? Jesus said, because of the hardness of your heart. So what Jesus is saying, that the God's original intention of holiness and his life as intended for human beings exceeds even higher than the law of Moses. In the law, there is some provision for our weakness. Okay, next one. Sorry, what happened? Okay, let's look at really quickly, because why am I saying this? I'm not showing you this so that you can go and talk to somebody saying, you know, this is what the Bible says, you know, you're going to hell. Don't do that. We need to have mercy. We need to pray. Sometimes it's better not to say. Sometimes we gotta pray. And the Holy Spirit can speak. But we do need to know, because we are muzzled. A lot of Christians don't actually have the biblical understanding what the Bible is saying. And we are moving back. And what does the Bible say? I don't know. Maybe we'll find out one day. There's so much ambiguous paper coming out that are just messing up our brain. Just go to the Word of God. Does the New Testament also make a very clear standing about this? Absolutely. Romans 1. Many people know about this. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged their natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, man with man committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Can't be any more clear. It's pretty clear. 1 Corinthians 6, it says, do you not know that unrighteous will maybe inherit, not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers or revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And then it goes on to say, such were some of you, but no more. Which means that a lot of those bad people, because of the power of gospel, changed. Can someone, you know, I used to swear a lot before I became Christian as a child. Once I became Christian, I couldn't swear. I changed. That's the power of the gospel. Power of God changes people. And Apostle Paul says, in the last days, there will be people coming out with a form of godliness, but deny its power to change people from the heart. He says, such were some of you, but changed is the power of the gospel. Now that word homosexual and sodomites, homosexual there is people, I got some notes there, but I can talk to you about it. It's pretty clear, but one of them is effeminate person. Person who are men, but who become, acts like woman. 1 Timothy, the law is not made for righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for ungodly and for sinners, for unholy, profane, murderers, fathers, murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, fornicators, sodomites, for the kidnappers, for the liars, for perjurers, if there is any other things that are contrary to the sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So, I mean, there are pretty sad lists there. None of it is good. And it's one of them there. Just quickly, two more in the Revelation 22 verse 15, he says, but outside are the dogs, sorcerers, sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, whoever loves and practices lie. There's a pretty strong admonition or warning from the scripture, all over the scripture. He's saying that dogs there, I was wondering, well, no dogs, I love dogs. It's actually an idiom for male temple prostitutes. It's pretty clear. Male temple prostitutes. That's why Jewish Bible translates that as a homosexual. So scripture is really clear. Scripture is really clear. Now, we need compassion and prayer because it is very uncompassionate to deceive people, deceive myself or deceive you. It's all fine. So Jesus loves everyone, but Jesus requires us to come to him and believe in him and allow him to change us. Says, no, I'm not going to be changed. It means that Jesus is not my Lord. Sorry, it's not normally my presentation. I want to encourage everyone, but I think some things sometimes need to be clear, isn't it? So that we are not wondering in our mind, are we being so horrible? I'm not trying to be horrible. I'm just trying to be clear. That's all I'm trying to do. Okay? Question. Another question. Okay, I think I've dealt with the question. Is there such a thing as practicing homosexual Christian? Because that's a big question. Someone can say, I believe in Jesus, so it's by faith. I believe in it, but I'm a homosexual. I'm going to live this way. I'm born that way. I'll go to church. Treat me like anybody else. Let me ask you another question. Is there such thing as a Christian who believes and practices adultery? Oh, well, I'm born this way. I can't help it. Or pedophile. Pedophile, it's all cultural thing, I love children in a different way. But I'm a Christian. I believe in the Bible. I know all the Bible. I can quote all the scriptures. I go to church. I tithe. Is there such thing? Now, let me ask you, a different question is that, can Christian fall into sin repeatedly and be cleansed every single time because of what Jesus has done as we come to him? Now, that is a different question than somebody saying that, I'm going to be a pedophile. I'm going to be a thief. I'm going to be an adulterer. I'm just born this way. That's what I want. But, I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian. can't. Jesus said, if you love me, you will what? Keep my word. So it's really not for me to say you are a Christian, or, you know, somebody's Christian. It's not for me to say. It's for the person to answer to Jesus. Because Jesus said on the day, they will come, when many will come and say, Lord, I did this for you, I did that for you. And he says, actually, you know what? I don't know you. Depart from me. That includes people who are moving in supernatural power. But Jesus is really talking about the heart, obedience. Right. I think I'm going to just kind of stop here. I had, you know, something more really good stuff for marriage as well. That is, what is marriage for? For us to become, we are made in God's image. God made man in his image, male, man, female. God created in his image. Both male and female reflect God's original image. Jesus said, how many times I'm trying to gather you like a hen, like a nurturing mother. We call him father, but he's also like mother, nurturing, loving. Both gender reflects God's glory. We are to celebrate the nature and the gender identity that we've been given. Amen. It also means that in the marriage, God wanted to produce children. In fact, did you see the photo of the scientist finally found out when, you know, this swimming sperm meets an egg and fertilize, a spark of life is actually given. It was photographed, I mean, a different sort of photograph, not normal photograph. God wanted every child to be born in a loving relationship of father and mother in a committed way. And because in this relationship, we can be love of God towards one another. It means what it means to be made in God's image, to be perfected in love. Though we are made somewhat differently, right? Mia is very different than me. But we learn to love. It's actually a prophetic embodiment. Prophetic embodiment. Every marriage points to the fact that one day we will be married to Jesus. Hallelujah. It's the highest call. Every marriage points to the biggest one, marriage in heaven. That's why Satan hates marriage so much. So much. He wants to destroy it. He wants to distort it. You know, Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 1, he says, the last days, Spirit expressly say, these things will happen. There will be a lot of people who has a form of godliness, a lot of Christendom, but they deny power to change people. And he says, in the last days, Spirit expressly says, he says, they will forbid marriage. So this is a real step towards it. Forbidding marriage. Forbidding marriage. Apostle says, in the last days, this is one of the signs. Destroying marriage that has been the foundation of human family and society for thousands of years, ever since we were created. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We'd all be decimated. So it's coming. It's the first step. There will be more steps to follow. Are we going to stand up? I'm going to invite Edwin to share a little bit from a different point of view so that we can also engage, you know, in conversation and see it, you know, in different perspective. And then we're going to move into prayer. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks. Testing. Does it work? Yep. Is it on? Testing, testing. One, two. Can you hear me? Hello? Yep. Hi, everyone. It's a privilege to always stand in front of you and just share. And it's something that it's a passion in my heart, and this is a topic I think Christians need to understand and stand up. And on a broad category range, I sort of see this in three forms, three categories: theological, which Pastor Paul has covered, and equality, and consequences, which the other bottom two, the next two, which is what I'm going to share a bit, and it's not exhaustive, but I think as Christians, because we are in the world, and as I go to workplace and talk to a lot of friends and family, friends and work colleagues who are Christian or not Christian, who actually don't have a strong view on this, but they tend to go, oh, well, I'll vote or not vote because it doesn't seem like it's a big deal anyway. And, you know, I just want to share, there's this nurse who two and a bit weeks ago I was working with and I was chatting away and we were talking in the theater or the restaurant and the same-sex marriage issue came up. And she also sort of blurted out, because it's not politically correct, she brought out that she'll be voting no. And then the other few people looked at her and she just kept quiet and didn't say anything. Then a few days ago, I worked with her again and I brought it up, and this time we were just in the theaters before we started, and she said, oh, I'm probably not going to vote this time, Edwin. I go, why? And she went, well, oh, it didn't really give me a good reason, but long short of it, because, you know, what the media portrayed. And to say no in a public environment is a very difficult thing. So it's easier to abstain than to say no, even though she believes no is the right answer. I was having dinner last night with a good friend of mine, and he's a non-Christian, and he was having drinks with some friends a few days ago. And again, the same-sex marriage topic came up again. And everyone in his group said yes, they'll be voting yes. But he said, no, I'm going to vote no. And then the first question, all of them turned to him and said, asked Janet, she was there, are you a Christian? Then there he went, no, I just think of marriage between man and woman. And then everything stopped and they moved on to a different topic. But he said to me and all of us that if I was a Christian, I'd be hammered. So the question suddenly dawned upon me. And as I stand here, it's something we have to ask ourselves as we engage our friends, our families maybe, and our work colleagues, that the heart for Pastor Paul and I is to, I guess, equip ourselves and every one of us from the theological basis, which is the most important. Because most of us sitting here, and I would say all of us sitting here, because God says so, it is so. It's enough of answer. But for a lot of Christians out there, and a lot of non-Christians, we need something more than that. And hopefully we can give you the theological, which Pastor Paul, and I'll give you some understanding of the quality issues and the consequence issues that will give you some kind of ability to engage people if this question comes up. So from an equality point of view, understand something. This is not about the individual. We're not standing here and going, you're a sinner. This is not about their sexual preference. This is not even about an individual's, whether adultery, bestiality, homosexuality. This is about we're minding our own beeswax to some extent, and the institution of marriage is now under attack. It's now under attack to be changed, to be transformed, to be redefined. And that's the question there. Marriage is not just about a love between two people. If you look at from an equality point of view, let's start from a legal basis. The de facto laws exist. Go and Google it, look it up on the website. It clearly states this includes same-sex partners. So therefore, from a legal point of view, the de facto laws exist. 5 out of 6 states, I'm not sure whether I'm quoting this right, but I think I am, 5 out of 6 states in Australia already have civil unions. So from a legal standpoint of them, of homosexual couples having to be able to protect their assets, making the choice of living together and, you know, having their rights protected, is there. So what is the issue? What is your and my understanding of marriage, regardless of religion? If you go back to the dawn of time, regardless of race, regardless of religion, regardless of culture, across the world, a young man and a young woman leaves their family to get married, to procreate, to have children, to start their own families. That has been the basic understanding of why a young man and a young woman get married. So to go, you can't change an institution like marriage and only concentrate on saying it's two people living together and loving each other. No, marriage entails a lot more than that. It entails a nuclear family. It entails children. And therefore, it leads to concepts of consequences. You can't just say it's only two people and that's it. But the equality point of view, it already exists. Two a gay couple, whether male or female, already have the legal right in Australia to stay together, to set a home, to have a civil union, and all the rights exist. It's like me saying, I like swimming. It's like me saying, I go to a public swimming pool, I have a great facility near my place, I swim, I have a great time, it's good. And suddenly I hear there's a women's only pool. And I go, hang on, that's a women's only pool. I want to be allowed in that pool. Most of you are looking at me, you're nuts, you've got your own pool. What's the problem? You got a pool, swim in it. Why do you have to go to that women's only pool and make a big deal? Does that make sense? We are talking about gender here. Why come after the institution of marriage? I'll take that one step further. Because we're talking about equality here, understand? We're talking about equality here. I'm a competitive swimmer. There's a male competition, there's a female competition. Why can't I enter a female competition? Why can't I compete against women? It's discriminatory, isn't it? I should have the right to compete in a women's competition. And you're looking at me right now going, you're an idiot, Edwin. For the same skill level, same height, same weight, same category, chances are a male is a bit stronger, and therefore it's not fair. So what is the point? If we're talking about equality here, reality is two men and two women cannot produce a child biologically, naturally. So as much as you want to ground on this equality issue, only a man and a woman joined together can produce a child to procreate. So equality from a legal standpoint of view is already there for a homosexual same-sex couple. The institution of marriage includes the whole concept of family and kids, which is something that you have to realize. You can't just isolate it. You know, I don't know whether there are any lawyers here, but I've watched enough law shows to go, you know, it may not be relevant, but if one party brings up that opens the door for that topic to be discussed, it's fair game. And so if you want to come against the institution, you want to change the institution of marriage, you cannot just limit it to a couple living together because they love each other, because that already exists legally. You want to come and change the institution of marriage, you have to look at it in its entirety, which means family, which means kids, which means consequences, which is the next topic we want to talk about. So from an equal point of view, when you engage and talk to people, it already exists from an equal legality point of view. And the reality is, from an equality point of view, it is impossible. Two men by themselves, two women by themselves, cannot have children. Does that make sense? I mean, I know I'm beating this point over and over again, but a marriage, as we know it, as the law puts it right now, is between man and woman. And the purpose is for to procreate, to have a family. And therefore, if you look at, you hear Sam Diastari in Q&A, Tony Burke, they all basically want to stick to the line of it's between two people who love each other, nothing else. But that's not it. You must understand, that's not it. Marriage is not just between two people because the legal rights for them already exist. It's about family. And you want to talk about consequences? Tony Burke said under Julia Gillard, the Labour Party had a policy that the ministers represent, you represent your community, and whatever they want, you have to vote. Right now under Bill Shorten, it doesn't exist. They're telling us that democracy, if I ask you what democracy means, to me, and I guess to most of us, and to the original definition of democracy is for the people, by the people, and basically what the people want. Now, they're saying democracy is you have the right to vote someone in parliament and the rest is up to them. Your right is just to vote someone into parliament. Then they make the decisions for the rest of your life. That's not democracy. Changing of laws, changing of times, changing of marriage. It has greater implications here. Consequence, let's talk about kids, because when you open that door in the local law of court that marriage, you want to change marriage, it involves kids. So let's talk about kids. There's enough, so much medical evidence to show that a father and mother bring different things to the child's development. Agree? We don't even have to know the evidence for medicine. The reality is, you know, your dad and mom brought different things to your upbringing. You know, moms, I mean, this is generalization, so please don't stone me. This is, moms would be more careful, more nurturing, more loving, while dads go, come on, you can do it. You can do it. And you develop different aspects. You've developed a nurturing aspect from mom, and possibly you develop the more go out and get stuff done by dad. Come on, be a man, you tell a young boy. Come on, get up, stop crying, go. Well, mom will just go and cuddle and make sure that a young boy's. And it brings different things. It develops the child differently. There's so many studies, and I'll just quote a few, and it's not exhaustive here. And there's more studies because, unfortunately, in this fallen world we live in, dads tend to be more away, and if they're single parents' families, usually it's the dad that's missing. But in a study of 700 adolescents, researchers found that compared to families with two natural parents living in a home, adolescents from single-parent families have been found to engage in greater and earlier sexual activity. So if dad's not around, especially for young girls, they go out at an earlier age and engage in sexual activity to look for a male figure. Fact. The quote here is from a 1994 study, Social Context of Risky Sexual Behavior Among Adolescents, Journal of Behavioral Medicine. This is just one. There's heaps out there. A myriad of maladies. Fatherless children are at a dramatically greater risk of drug and alcohol abuse, mental illness, suicide, poor educational performance, teen pregnancy, and criminality. The source, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Natural Center of Health Statistics Survey on Child Health, Washington. Look it up. High risk, fatherless children, another same thing, dramatically higher risk of suicide, and it's a similar kind of source. Suicidal tendencies in a study of 146 adolescent friends and 26 adolescent suicide victims, teens living in single-parent families are not only more likely to commit suicide, but also more likely to suffer from psychological disorders when compared to teens living in intact families. I can go on, but what I'm trying to say to you is that no matter how loving two dads are, and no matter how loving two mums are, you cannot bring the same kind of thing that a man and a woman can, a loving father and a loving mother. This is not about the individual. I guarantee you, you'll find two loving gay couples who have kid, and the worst heterosexual couples with kids. Sure, there's a difference. But we're talking about in general, because once this is permanent, it's going to be, there'll be bad gay couples with kids also, along with the good ones. So this is about what a father brings and what a mother brings. And I was actually reading a study for the mum. I mean, I don't even want to, I mean, we don't really have to spend too much about mum, because we know when mums are so important to a child's development. So if two guys cannot bring what mums bring to a child's development. But they found that if you came from a home with a nurturing mother, your hippocampus is 10 times larger in volume. I didn't know this. 10 times larger in volume if you came from a home without a mother or without a nurturing mother. Wow. Two dads cannot be a nurturing mother. Understand that this, when you talk about changing the institution of marriage, and when it includes procreation at the core of its foundation, you are changing everything. You are changing the whole concept of the consequence on kids. And so that idea of it's only two consenting adults, it doesn't hurt anyone, actually is not true. Because what about the rights of the child? What about this child that is there? And what about their rights, their brain development, their personal character, their mental health? We are meant to protect them, if anything. So that's one of the issues you need to deal with, and one of the consequences. And I can go on, but we're running out of time because one, prayer is also very, very important. The next consequence. Anyone saw the news or read the news about Dr. Pansy Lai in Hornsby? Yeah? It's close to my heart. I'm a doctor, I guess. She was in the ad, and she voiced an opinion of no. Now, understand this. There's a great media presence out there for that 1.5% that seems to give an impression that anyone that doesn't, that wants to vote no, is persecuting, especially Christians, persecuting them. This woman, this GP, went on this ad. It's her right to have an opinion and said she'd be voting no and gave her reasons. Now, tolerance is not, you have to agree what I say, that's tolerance. No, tolerance is when you and I may disagree, but I respect you, love you as a person, and vice versa. She went out and said no and gave her reasons. Once that ad aired, the LGBT community has got a petition, 6,000 signatures, to go to APRA, which is our medical board, to get her deregistered. She's not a bad doctor. She's a great GP. I know friends who know her personally and also know her patients. She, her livelihood, her ability to function is now, was under jeopardy. It's now been withdrawn. Was under jeopardy because she had the audacity to stand up and be counted and said no. Talk about who's being discriminated. Who's being attacked. There are consequences. Not even on that. Robert Di Natale, the leader of the Greens, who is a member of parliament. So if, when you realize if a particular government is in power, he said he has grave concerns that any medical practitioner views an opposing view to the yes to the same-sex marriage. This is a member of parliament. This is a guy that has influence over laws. This is a guy that will affect people like Dr. Xu and I, because how dare we have an opinion that is separate from what he thinks is right. And on top of that, when he says grave concerns, the government has the power to shut doctors down, to individually go to the medical board and say, look for, deregister this person. And suddenly, I'm thinking, my goodness, that 1.5%, the tail, the tip of the tail is wagging the dog and not the other way around. And it's something to think about. And if you look at Canada, and I'll end with this. If you look at Canada, you look at US, and look at the consequence of the nations that have approved same-sex marriage, you know, it's not about the individual, I'll state that. It's not about individual people who have their sexual preferences. That is that theological issue that they have to decide between themselves if they are Christians. If not, they can live what they want to live. That's their choice. God gave us free will. But within a month, I think, of US approving the Supreme Court overturning the laws and approving same-sex marriage, a gay couple went to a Christian baker in San Francisco to demand that a wedding cake be made. San Francisco is gay capital of the world. There's heaps of bakers that'll do it. But they deliberately went to a Christian baker to demand a wedding cake. Why? To take her to court for discrimination. They got same-sex marriage. They got a yes. Isn't that enough? No. So you have to ask yourself, what is the intent? And the further consequences. Teachers, imagine you're in school and this gender fluidity, equality things comes in. And you as a Christian, or maybe not even not a Christian, you just don't think it's right to teach a 5-year-old, 4-year-old, 6-year-old, 8-year-old about these kind of things. Teachers have been prosecuted under the Discrimination Act in those countries because they refuse or to teach that kind of things and voice their opinions against it. There are consequences, and you need to discuss it with the people that God has put around you to understand why. It's just this moral degradation of society that's just going downhill, and it's not just about two people loving each other and wanting to live with each other, because that already exists in the law. It's an institution of marriage and the Pandora's box that it opens up that is at stake here. And that is what we need to realize. That is what we need to communicate in the gentlest possible way, because it is a very, very sensitive issue. It's a very, very, you know, for a lot of people, it's very, you know, either they're personally involved or they have friends and they go, what's the problem? Why are you like this? Why do you have this no attitude? But you just have to pray, ask God to give us the wisdom to be able to just communicate. And the evidence is out there in terms of what's happened in Canada, what's happened in the US, the studies in terms of kids and consequence. It's just that, that is why if you look at, if you listen to Labour ministers, listen to the people, Green ministers, the whole argument is now, it's about two people who want to live together, and that's it. But it's not it, because it already legally exists for that to occur. It's now about the institution of marriage. And no one wants to touch, no one wants to actually allow that discussion to happen. Because they know if that discussion happens, then all the things I've said to you and much more, the consequences falls into place. And it makes it really difficult for the swinging public, the people who, like my nurse who sits there and going, well, you know, it doesn't affect me. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want people to come and chastise me and abuse me. I'll just keep quiet. But once people realize, wow, it has a bigger consequence, they may be brave enough to step up and vote according to their convictions. Amen? Amen. I'll just pass it back to Pastor Paul.
Thank you, Edwin. That was great. Yeah, it's very enlightening. We're going to pray, but I think two things are happening. Jesus said, the last days, it will be like the days of Lot. And, you know, Jude, verse 7 actually talks about that, and Jesus talked about it in Luke. The Sodom and Gomorrah, from where we get the word sodomy, it's happening. And they were not just practicing in hide, which has been all the time, but they're coming out trying to take over society. Militant homosexual agenda. We love the people, but it's a spirit behind it and the agenda behind it we must stand against. But also another good thing is happening. When Jesus is coming, all the marriage is prophetically pointing to the ultimate marriage. What is it saying? It's a sign of the last days. Body of Christ will step into intimate walk with Jesus, like a bride and the bridegroom. And I believe God will leave a very clear and strong witness on earth of the love of God through the institution of human marriage, Christian marriage that are outstandingly loving, holy, righteous, self-sacrificing, self-giving, humble, joyful, godly. It's going to also rise. Amen. So it's a great things happening, but we're going to fight for the land. Amen. Let's stand here. Let's stand. We've got the musicians, we're going to sing once through, this is our land, because this is our land. It's Jesus' land. It's 1.2% or 1.5%, a small number of people, they're acting like it belongs to them. We are like, you know, outside. No. It's Jesus' land. We're going to sing over this nation. Let's pray also for God's love to be poured out on this nation. Hallelujah. Jesus. The great Southland of the Holy Spirit. After that, we're going to get UL and Chanel, just new mom and dad, to come in and lead us in a prayer. And we're going to open up a floor for people to come and pray. Get the microphone and pray, but don't talk, just pray, you know. We're going to have a just punchy, we call it rapid fire prayer. We're going to move through prayers. God is doing a great thing. Amen. We believe this is winnable battle. Yes, yes, yes. It's in Grace Southland. Okay.
is our nation. This is our nation. This is our land. This is our future. This is our home. This land of reaping, land of harvest. This is our land. This is our home. This is a great Southland
of the Holy Spirit, land of endless plains and summer rains. To this sunburnt land we will see a flood, and to this great south land His Spirit comes.
This is our nation.
This is our nation. This is our land. This land of plenty. This land of hope. The richest harvest is in her people. We see revival. His Spirit come. This is the Prince of Land of the Holy Spirit, land of endless plains and summer rains. Through the sunburnt land we will see a flood. To this great South land His Spirit come. This is our nation. This is our land. This is our plenty. This
land of hope,
land of harvest, is in her people's
see revival.
His Spirit comes.
This is a great South
land of the Holy Spirit,
land of endless plains
and summer rains. To the sunburnt land we will see a flood, and to this great South land His Spirit comes.
This is a great South land of the Holy Spirit,
land of endless plains and summer rains.
To this sunburnt land we will see a flood, this great Southland, Spirit come. This is the great Southland
of the Holy Spirit, land of endless plains and summer rains. To the sunburnt land we will see a flood, and to this great Southland the Spirit comes.
Father, we just thank you, God, for your heart, Lord God. We thank you that, Lord, you are a God of love. Father, and we just want to believe, even stand here as a church, as a body this morning, Lord God, and pray, Lord God, for the LGBT community, Lord God. We pray, Father, that you would spark a revival, Lord God, that this situation, Lord God, that these things and the voices that they're hearing of accusation, of condemnation, Lord God, that, Father, they would also hear your voice of love. Lord God, your voice that is calling them back to you, Lord God, your voice that is calling them back to who you've called them to be and who you've created them to be, Lord God, from the beginning, Father. And we just want to stand, Lord God, in the gap for these people, Lord God, for those who are broken, for those who are hurting, Lord God, for those who've even been hurt by the church, Lord God. And Father, we pray that as a body, Lord God, we would stand in love, in unity, Lord God, and also just to represent, Lord God, your heart in this community and in this nation, Lord God. Father, we also want to pray for this generation, this next generation, Lord God, of children, of people, Lord God, that are coming into, Lord God, just your purposes, Father. And we just want to pray against all tactics of the enemy, Lord God, to create a fatherless and motherless generation, Lord God. We pray that you would restore, Lord God, what you've always created them to be, Lord God. You would create and you would restore, Lord God, fatherless fathers and mothers, Lord God, into this generation to raise up, Lord God, warriors for your kingdom, Father. Lord, we just pray for your purposes, Lord God. We know that you are a God of restoration, Lord God. You're a God of hope and you're a God of love, Lord God. So, Father, we just pray just for your hand, Lord God, to just be upon just every single person, Lord God, that is just feeling, Lord God, down and feeling just, Lord God, segregated from you, Lord God, that you would bring them closer to you in this time. In your name we pray. Amen.
Father, we just want to thank you, Lord God, for your gift of marriage. Father, we come before you, Lord God, with hearts that are heavy, hearts that are burdened, Lord God, hearts, Father, that are, Lord God, just wanting to stand with you, Lord God, but also, Lord God, desiring, Father, that the words that we speak and the actions, Lord God, and the way that we live would declare, Lord God, and describe your love, Father, more than the words that we speak. Lord God, we want to remember, Lord God, the purpose of marriage, Lord God. We want to, Father, just uphold, Lord God, your definition of marriage. Lord God, and at the same time, Father, we recognize that we enter into marriage, Lord God, for love and out of humility. And Lord, as we uphold the definition of marriage, Father, I pray that we would do so in love and in humility. Lord God, I just want to pray, Father, for every person in this room, Lord God, for your church in Australia and worldwide. Lord God, we break fear off your church. Lord God, we break judgment off your church. Lord God, we break any feelings, Lord God, of discrimination off your church. And Father, we pray, Lord, that we would not get caught up in this debate and forget your call to love. Your call, Father, to be loving above being right. Lord God, we want to be right in love, Lord God, but we don't want to be right without it. And Lord, I just want to pray today, God, that every person in this room would leave feeling uplifted, would leave feeling empowered, not because of what we know, not because of the knowledge that we have been given, but Father, because of your heart that resides inside of us. Lord God, you have called us to bring Jesus into every situation. Lord, and we believe that Jesus comes when we love. Father, so we just want to bless you today, God. And we do pray for our nation. We do pray for the laws of our nation, Father. May they stick and be upheld, Lord God, to your standard. Father, but above all else, Father, we pray that we would not lose our heart of love for you and for the nations in all of this, God. May we not be confused. We break confusion off every single person, Lord God, and we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name.
Open up the prayer. Just come here and pray. We're going to agree and pray.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I ascribe greatness to you, Father. Lord, the institution of marriage can be found in the very first book of the Bible, Lord, and is found in the pages of the Bible right after the end, when Jesus, you are our groom and we are your bride. There's no gray areas, Lord. Lord, I come as a migrant to this country, Lord, to this land of milk and honey, and I don't take it for granted, Father God. I've raised children here. All of us, most of us are migrants in this church, Father God. And we will be bringing forth grandchildren and many, many more children to come, Father God. Lord, this country is our inheritance, Father God. Lord, we come in full repentance towards you, Father God. Lord, may your people that are called by your name will rise up, Lord. May our voices rise up. We're not going to be passive anymore. Our voices, we're not going to cower. Let our voices be heard in protest, Lord. Let us stand by your word, by your statutes. We want our children to be raised, Lord, in an environment of holiness, Lord, an environment that tells them there's no compromise. Live by the statutes of the Lord and you will be blessed abundantly, more than you can contain, Father God. We want to live life that glorifies you, Lord. Lord, so I pray, Lord, you just wake up your people, Lord, your shepherds, your sheep. Bring them out, Lord, that they will not cower in fear, but to stand and just proclaim your agenda for this country. Lord, we see Australia, this continent, will shine. We just pray it will shine in this area that's closer to Southeast Asia, will be exemplary to all the surrounding nations, that it's a nation that will walk in your prophetic what's the word, in your prophetic yes, in your prophetic destiny. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Abba Father, we thank you that you are the Almighty God who created Australia for your glory. Many are the purposes of man, but your purposes will prevail. We thank you that you have made Australia an inheritance for your church and for your son. Therefore, we declare Jesus is indeed Lord and King over Australia. Australia belongs to Jesus. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Therefore, because you are king, your righteousness will prevail in Australia. Your definition of marriage will prevail in Australia. Abba Father, forgive the sins of the people of Australia, in the church and outside the church. Secret sins, open sins, sins of thought, word and action, cleanse us with the precious blood of Jesus. And let your spirit move in every heart this coming week. And let them fear you and do your will. For the leaders of the land and the peoples of the land are like a river watercourse in your hands. You direct them like a watercourse, whichsoever way you will. And we declare that your will prevail. Your definition of marriage will prevail. Your angels are assigned to every family, every balloting member of this nation to say no to the marriage bill. So we give you glory and honor that your kingdom is established in Australia. Your plans and purposes will prevail. Your kingdom come in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Why don't you line up? So, you know, just line up.
See the scripture. The very first message that Jesus preached was, and he says, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty of the captives, to recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. God, you have, when you said in the book of Acts, the very first verse, that we are to do and teach everything Yeshua did. So, Father, we pray, even as on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the church, come, Holy Spirit, and help us to fulfill the mandate that you have given. Father, these people are not behaving like this because they want to, because they have been compelled into, in most cases, oh Father. Father, only you can heal them. Your healing goes beyond what doctors can do, into spirit, soul, and body, into emotions, into every area of their lives, oh Father. So Father, we pray that you spend your spirit upon us. And Father, that we will open the doors, oh Father. for the hurting people to come in. We will open the door, Father, for the brokenhearted to come in, O Father. We will open the door, Father, for the homosexual to come in, and they will walk away different, O Father. That everyone that came to you, Yeshua, when you walked on earth, you are our model. You are our role model. You are the one that we will follow. Is Christ in me the hope of glory? This is your church. Your church, O Father. Father, we see victory, and we pray that you'll pour out your spirit upon the church, that we will see this captive set free, and Father, that people will come into the place where they are created to be. Father, that image that they have been, that you're created in, has been marred by sin. But for Father, we pray that this day, O Father, we undertake, O Father, we here say, here we are, send us, O Father, filled with your Holy Spirit, O Father, to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. We love them, and we say that from the bottom of our heart, and we invite them to our church. Invite them into the church in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this nation, for all these people, for this, the church, what you have called her to, Father. Thank you that you are calling us into a new season of your love, Lord God, where the question, have we learned to love? It comes, we see it, Lord God, and we thank you that we come to a place where we're poised, Lord God, a special privilege and honor to be one of the first places in the world to embrace your love, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that your love flowing through us, it hasn't been what it should, Lord God. We ask for forgiveness, Father. We've been like Lot, where we've just kept ourselves pure. We've just kept love in our homes. We've just kept love inside where we are. And we haven't gone out and we preached righteousness. We haven't gone out and shown love. Forgive us, Father. Father God, where we haven't loved, where we haven't gone out, Lord God, and we haven't overcome by your blood, Lord Jesus, your blood, your life that you laid down, that covenant that you have given to us, so that we come and we overcome by your blood and the word of your testimony. We haven't laid down our lives unto death for love in our communities. Our churches haven't represented your love, Lord God, where that's been the case. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us, Lord. Please, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you would come and you would just bring a spirit of repentance, Lord God. That you would bring into our hearts that place where we see, Father God, what we could have accomplished, Lord God, in your love, walking as priests and kings, Lord God, releasing healing to the nations. We thank you that a window of opportunity is open, Father God, where you're moving on, Lord God, where you're moving on and you're inviting us to join you and to release your love over this nation. Father God, we don't want to perish in the wilderness. We don't want to see judgment and disaster come and learn to love in the midst of disaster. Father God, we want to learn to love. We with your move of your spirit coming and touching all the people in this nation, for your we're great love that we lay down our lives to the death. We open our hearts, we open our homes and our churches, Lord. Give us the grace, Father. Give us the grace. Thank you, wonderful Lord Jesus. Amen.
Father, we thank you that before you send any judgment to any nation, you will send your prophets first to sound the trumpet call. The trumpet call has been sounded, O Lord. And during these 3 days of fasting and prayer, we will come in repentance, O Lord, so that your hands will be moved, and you will send your angelic host, O Lord, so that the voters' hands will vote for a no against this same-sex marriage. And we pray that this issue of same-sex marriage will be buried underground once and forever, and it will never rear its ugly head again. We declare, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you that this week is marriage week. Thank you today that we have shared how important it is for us to be reminded of what is marriage in your sight, how precious that is to you and the what you want to teach us through marriage. Oh, I just want to pray, Lord, even right now, for the strengthening of all marriages in this church, in this land, Lord. We want to pray that you will just baptize us with love and humility. Lord, we need your grace. We need your strength. We need your humility. We need a forgiving spirit, Lord. Acceptance, love and acceptance. Lord, we acknowledge our weaknesses. We acknowledge our pride. We acknowledge that we want to be right. We want to win every argument. Lord, we are weak. We cannot even do this right. Lord, how can we do other things? We acknowledge it. And you said in your word, that's why we want to we need you. Lord, we want to acknowledge that we are weak, but you are strong in us. Oh Lord, we thank you for your very presence, your very temple in us, for your spirit in us that encourages us, that rise up even at this time to acknowledge and say, yes, we want your love to be in us, that we acknowledge you love us and that we can only love because you love us. Oh Lord, we need your love in us, Lord, for everything that we do, for every relationship we are in. We need you. I just want to pray that the Lord understands every struggle. The Lord understands us is in every situation, in every relationship, especially in marriage. He cares so much for marriage. Let's pray for all difficult marriages. Let's pray for our friends, for our families, for ourselves. Oh Lord, we give you all glory that all marriages will be strong in your name, through you only and you alone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Can we actually join hands together? If we can all join hands. Let's all join hands together. Praying for our marriage, yeah? We are praying for this land. We are praying for love of God. We are praying actually that God will touch homosexual community in Australia, visit them with signs and wonders and visions. And we're praying, Lord, to be true to the Lord in times of pressure, that we will be true. We will be true to the Lord. And we will not bend His will, but we will be pure before God. Yeah? Hallelujah. Let's just pray for one another. Pray for, you know, the God's blessing over our marriage and the single people. We got to pray for the single people and the youth, yeah? That they will be able to live godly life, the power of holiness, and power of truth and power of love to just lay hold of us in the name of Jesus. Abba, Father, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you look upon us, O God. Release your love, O God. Release your power. Lord God, release your grace, O God. Lord, every marriage, O God, that are represented here, Lord, we ask for special, Lord God, grace, O God. Lord Jesus, grace, O God, to make good marriage great. Great marriage godly. Godly marriage holy, O God. Oh God, we pray, oh Lord Jesus, that you just release, oh God, your supernatural mercy and grace in the name of Jesus, oh God. Father, that we will reflect your love, oh God, for us in our marriage in the name of Jesus. Oh Father, we pray, Lord, that you will just pour out your spirit, oh God, on this land, Lord. First, Lord, pour out your spirit upon your people, that we will have, Lord God, grace of supplication, oh God, that this grace will pour out, oh God, from us to the world, oh God, and in heaven, hit, Lord God, Lord, homosexual community, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh Father, Lord, let your glory appear. Hallelujah. Lord, we just stand united together. We stand united together, Lord Jesus. that this land belongs to you. And you will have your way. You will have your way. You will have your way. Amen. 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 Let's sing one more time. This is our nation. And we're going to give the Lord a great clap after that. Yeah.
This is a great Southland of the Holy Spirit, land of endless plains and summer rains, to the sunburnt land we will see afar, to this great Southland your Spirit comes, to this great Southland of the summer rains, to the sunburned land we will see afar, and to this great southern land Spirit come.
Of the
Holy Spirit and the red dust plains, let Spirit come.
Will we pray? Will we seek the Lord? This week is a marriage week. Let's pray. And let's also do something practical for our marriage. Actually, from the marriage week, they've given some ideas about writing an appreciation letter to each other. Husband to wife. Or buy a gift. Doesn't have to be very expensive. Well, maybe expensive. But do something practical, practical to just release that love into the marriage. Yeah? Okay, yeah. And then we're going to pray for this land, yeah? Let's do that. If you can come to Maru, please come. Yeah, there will be prayer meetings all over the place. So, yeah.
Abba Father, we thank you for this awesome time in your presence this morning. We thank you that you have heard our prayers and you have given good marriages to every family in this church. The husbands are good husbands. The wives are good wives. The children are godly and good children. Because you have said so, we agree with you, and it is done. So we thank you, Father God, this church will model godly families to all their friends outside this church, in the workplace and in the marketplace. So we thank you and give you all glory for a new move of your Spirit in our marriages, where men will see your glory in our marriages, reflecting the love of Jesus for his church and his church for his son, Jesus, for your son, Jesus. So, Lord God, this morning dismiss your people with the blessing of the high priest. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face towards you and grant you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, there's tea and coffee. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen.